It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Jazz and Clippers semifinals.
Boy, trick question. Got to give me the right answer. Are you a big Jazz fan?
We are hardcore. And
you
At our house, we watch anything that's competitive. We'll watch the spelling bee if it's a good one, if it's really a challenge. But the Jazz, we love to break it down at our house. We love to go through all the X's and O's and the strategy.
Boy, breaking it down for the Jazz. So I was...
And, and often I'm texting Alex Carey.
Hey, Alex is on the line with us. We're going to get to him in just 30 seconds. So stand by. I was elated to hear this late last week. What did you say? Oh, yeah. We're off to the next round. So, but outside of Utah, they're trash-talking our Utah Jazz.
They are trash-talking. And some of that trash-talking is coming by not talking at all about the Jazz.
So there was a former NBA player who tweeted, weakest playoffs ever. Nobody want to see Utah versus Nets or Suns versus Bucks, LOL. Then there's an ESPN commentator, Alex, who said, so instead of a Lakers-Clippers conference finals, we're going to get Denver and Utah? Instead of a New York-LA finals, maybe Utah-Milwaukee? League's got to be happy about that.
What, that's my reaction is boo-hoo. Who cares? These big cities crying about this stuff doesn't matter to me. I mean, as Boyd was saying, there's a meme that goes around on the internet, you know, talking about the Jazz, where it says, hey, you say you don't bother me, and then they look at you and say, I don't even think about you. So that was that's the joke that's been going around it. And Utah's being disrespected as usual. And you know what?
Why?
That's the role we play, and that's fine.
Why? Is that because we're considered a small market team?
Yeah, I think part of it's a small market, and they want those big marquee matchups. They want a New York LA series and do that. But this is really interesting. Out of the eight teams that are left, five of these teams have never won an NBA championship.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you, Alex.
there you go.
So I don't know
I left off. All I know is that Utah getting ignored is nothing new, and these players are fine with it. And I'm with it, and keep ignoring the Jazz until the end of the series.
Does it inspire them, Alex?
Alex can't hear us. I'll answer that for you.
Having a hard time dialing in from Mars this morning.
I will say it is a motivation for the players. Two, I actually think it is good for the NBA because these are stories. Again, five of the eight teams have never won an NBA championship. The other three teams, the most recent of all of them is Philadelphia, who won way back in 1983. So these are all franchises and these are all good Cinderella feel-good stories of a once-in-a-generation chance to win an NBA championship. And I think the country's looking for those kinds of stories.
Do we have Alex Carey back on the line yet? I wonder who's interfering with his phone call here.
I think it's his hot dog and popcorn delivery.
I think this was another tweet. Oh, it must be because there's a hashtag involved, NBA Finals. Holy fill in the blank. A Bucks-Jazz NBA Finals would have to be the most interesting, least watched finals since the ABA folded into the NBA, the American Basketball League folded into the National Basketball Association. So this is how the rest of the nation views us?
Well, I think it's less about Utah. I think it's more about they just want, we've been so conditioned that unless it's New York and LA or Chicago, you know, big cities, that it doesn't really count. It doesn't really matter. And I think this one just is. I think coming out of the pandemic, I think people are looking for a different kind of story. They don't want the traditional stuff. They don't want another LeBron series. They don't want the three bought and paid for New York Nets to show up and win.
They had such a convincing win streak against the Grizzlies that this morning I woke up and after reading what the rest of the nation is saying about us. that way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember.
Or am I getting too out over my skis on this one?
No, don't get out over your skis. But remember, Donovan Mitchell did not play in Game 1, which was the game the Grizzlies won. And, of course, the nation said, oh, see, the Utah Jazz were not really that great. They had the best record, but they're not that great. And I agree. We really haven't seen anything yet when it comes to the Jazz. I think they're just getting into rhythm. We're hoping that Mike Conley, who is tentative for the game with a hamstring soreness, if Mike Conley's in, then I think you haven't seen anything yet. I think they'll get into a nice rhythm.
Alex, back on the line with us.
Oh, my heaven.
Were you out getting concessions already, Alex?
No. I know. Listen, you know what happens? The summer is in. And every kid wants to be on a device. They steal all my Wi-Fi, and then that's the way it goes.
Just put tinfoil on your head, Alex, and so you can intercept the signal. Hey, look, what would it? Okay, let's. I want to get out over my skis and look into the crystal ball because I think a win. You know, bringing back the title to Utah. Hopefully we could win it on the home front, and you know, on the home court. That would be huge, huge, right? For our community.
Yeah. And you know, every round it kind of ramps up. You start to sort of drag along with you people who may not necessarily kind of go along mainstream with the Jazz all the time. And so what happens is it stops being like just a Jazz basketball playoff series. It becomes kind of the community thing, like you're saying. And so this round is really important, but it's the next round, it is times 10. And then if they're able to get to the NBA finals, then it's, you know, times 100 on top of that. It's like, you know, the Richter scale on 0.1 is really like actually 100 times more than it is. Like, this is huge. And what Boyd was saying about Mike Conley, and listing him as questionable is not good news. That's not like that's not them not showing their hand.
Okay.
And Mike Conley from 5 years ago, if it was Mike Conley from 5 years ago, and if he had never had hamstring issues before, all he has is hamstring issues. Like, if you talk about Mike Conley, he has hamstring issues. And so this is kind of the thing that they've been. I'm not saying it's his fault. What I'm saying is he has these previously, and they take a while, and he's gotten older. And we all know how that goes. So there's the part of that. So.
But just because I'm not the inside baseball gal when it comes to the NBA, Donovan Mitchell's playing tonight, right?
Yes. Oh, of course.
And that's huge.
And that's massive. And, you know, it was, so they kind of do this trade-off. Mike Conley was huge in Donovan Mitchell's absence last week. And Donovan Mitchell hopefully will be able to take over that same role, but not necessarily playing the same position, obviously, because they're going to have to put a Joe Ingles, or you're going to see a lot of Jordan Clarkson like you always do. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of filling in, and this is the guy that was kind of the glue.
Yeah.
He became basically this year what everybody was hoping he was going to be last year, and that is just like this massive veteran who brings total stability to the team. Donovan Mitchell said, Mike Conley does not have a bad day ever. And he was like, as a person, as a player, he never has a bad day. And I thought, well, you know, there's lessons in there from that guy. Everyone on the team loves him. There's not a soul who goes, I don't like Mike Conley, because he's a huge, important part of this team. So my thing is leave him out for a game.
Yeah.
Maybe even two. The Clippers don't have an answer for the Jazz this season.
Okay.
They aren't the Clippers from 2 years ago. And they haven't had an answer for him this year. So, they have Rudy Gobert. And they have no big men.
Yeah.
The Jazz have Rudy Gobert. They have no big men, so you've got to take advantage of it.
All right. Fantastic. And, Alex, we're going to have you back at 2:35 during Inside Sources. I'll let you go
awesome.
Back.
I'll be there.
Back for popcorn and peanuts and Cracker Jacks and a big Jazz win. Thanks for helping us break it down. This is a community moment, a community movement. Go Jazz.
And I just looked up Jazz tickets. It looks like there's still tickets available tonight, but we're going to get into the inside scoop on how not to get ripped off when buying tickets in our 11 o'clock hour. So if you got to step away from the car, be back in by 11 o'clock and tuned in to the Dave and Dujanovic Show with special guest host Boyd Matheson. Straight ahead, a full arena. They can pack the house tonight. It might be just what the doctor ordered for a flailing downtown Salt Lake City that's been stuck in a pandemic. We're going to have a live interview straight ahead.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Boyd Matheson sitting in today for Dave Noriega, who's on vacation for a few days. And Boyd, you've already divulged that you guys at your house are huge Jazz fans.
We are, and we are ready for game one tonight, second round of the playoffs, Clippers coming in. I think this is an important one, not just for the Jazz. It is important for the Jazz to take game one, especially because the Clippers are a little tired. They went seven games, a really brutal series with Dallas. So this is a good chance to take control.
I hate when I'm tired, but I love it when the other team
is right.
tired.
Always a good thing. Always a good
thing. So I don't know what the foot traffic data shows for the downtown area, but there are some 18,000 fans that could be packing tonight's stadium because, you know, they're now up to, what, full capacity. But I know from working downtown and being in the downtown area throughout the entire pandemic, as you have been, that there have been times when this place is a ghost town.
Yeah, and really tired. I mean, there's so many businesses that have been struggling, especially our restaurant owners, our small business owners. And so they're a little tired, too, coming into this playoff. And this may be just the perfect jump start and pick-me-up for the downtown area.
There were many days that I walked onto 400 West just outside of Broadcast House, and that's the road that runs right by Gateway Mall, that I felt I could have set up a bowling alley.
Right.
And bowled a few rounds, a few games, and not even
no one
been confronted
yeah.
by a vehicle. It was just desolate.
Yeah.
It was a zombie land at times. And we know that restaurants have paid the price for this. Shops have paid the price for this. And it's been heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I am hopeful that tonight is the start of something big, not only for the Jazz, not only for fans, but for, you know, downtown yeah. restaurant
getting
owners.
Getting people back into the city. Nothing is better than Salt Lake City when Salt Lake City is full and energized. And nothing does that better than a Jazz game.
Let's get Jacqueline Briggs into the conversation. Good morning, Jacqueline.
Good morning.
You're the regional marketing manager for Vestar. Vestar owns Gateway Mall. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yep, over here at the Gateway, right across the street.
So let's take a quick look back into the bad of the pandemic. How was the Gateway impacted last year due to COVID? And we knew from, you know, I've spent many, many days eating lunch over at Gateway, at shopping at Gateway, that Gateway, a lot of the stores had shut down even before the pandemic. But how did the pandemic impact the shops there?
Yeah, you know, the Gateway, as you said, has been going through a transition the last couple years and reimagining what we could do with the space. But like you mentioned, we are a downtown property, so we rely heavily on the events and the excitement that happens downtown, whether that's a farmer's market or these amazing Jazz games or concerts at Vivint Arena and the Depot. So that is a huge part of our regular traffic. So seeing those come back has been amazing because there was a huge impact on our merchants not having that foot traffic as well as the day-to-day business traffic, people not being in their offices.
You know, so many of the things that we are looking at is part of what you mentioned, that reimagining of what it can be. So as you look at the downtown areas, you look at the Gateway in particular, what are some of the things that we can start anticipating and looking forward to draw people back to the Gateway, back to the downtown area?
Sure. Well, with this beautiful weather that we're having, and we're an outdoor center, we welcome back a whole slew of events. We have regular fitness classes on the plaza. We have outdoor movies that we have weekly going on. Those are all free events, as well as a lot of the larger festivals are back. So the Chalk Art Festival's back, the Italian Festival's back. We have some really fun concerts coming down the line this summer, and our restaurants are open and ready for those events and ready for people to pop by. They're open extended hours now for this summer, as well as kind of the nightlife scene with our bars.
What I'd love to see tonight, Jacqueline, at the Gateway Mall and other downtown restaurants is a little bit of a waiting list, a line to get in before tip off, which is, of course, 8 o'clock tonight at Vivint Smart Home Arena. But do you expect restaurants to be packed tonight?
We do. We've already seen the uptick when they allowed 13,000 fans, and adding an additional 5,000 or so is going to make an even bigger impact for us. We have great parking here at the Gateway, so a lot of the fans park here with us. And then, like you said, they come before the game or maybe even after the game to celebrate together, or hopefully not, but commiserate together. But it brings a lot of excitement and fun and energy down here.
Hey, no commiserating. We're taking that
no,
off the table.
No, I didn't say that. that.
Only celebration before, during, and after the game at the Gateway tonight.
Hey, Jacqueline, I'm wondering if fans park there at the Gateway Mall, can they then and then eat there? Can they then walk over to the Vivint Smart Home and watch the game without worrying about their car getting impounded?
Exactly. We have wonderful parking garages and we have full security teams. So it's a great, safe place to park, and we offer a lot of it.
All right. Well, we're happy to hear that Gateway is making its way back and the restaurants are open. You got a lot of events planned for the summer. Jacqueline Briggs, the regional marketing manager for Vestar, which is the owner of Gateway Mall near the downtown area. Actually, I like to call it the downtown area, joining us live on the line. Thanks so much for your time this morning, Jacqueline. And I think this is just a huge shot in the arm for, I've just talked to so many restaurant owners. One of my favorite restaurants in downtown closed. Canela's closed during the pandemic for good. I was heartbroken. Go over to Crown Burger a lot here across the street from Broadcast House. And
you can't
I
say
know
that.
I eat all the calories, but I worry that not enough people, Boyd, have been showing up at our favorite restaurants.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be one of those moments, and I actually think it's going to be extended because I think the Jazz are going to win, and I think they're going to get on a nice run here. I think they'll get to the finals. And that's going to create even more of a story. And one of the interesting things we're noticing coming out of the pandemic is people want to be part of a winning story. We've had kind of this discouraging, isolating pandemic for over a year. And people are looking, they want to be part of something. And the Jazz, I think, are going to be the perfect thing to be part of.
And it refocuses us.
It does.
I mean, all the talk about the drought, all the talk about the pandemic, it does feel weighty and heavy.
It reconnects
the Jazz
us.
Feels hopeful.
Yeah, and it's not just
hopeful.
It's not just connecting. You said this earlier, Deb. It's not just connecting to those that love basketball. It's connecting us to each other. Because the further the Jazz go in the playoffs, the more it becomes a community event where suddenly we're looking around a little bit more. Who's on either side of us? And suddenly people we didn't even know knew the Jazz existed are suddenly part of this story and what's happening in downtown Salt Lake City. And so to me, I think it's perfect timing. It's a perfect catalyst. And the Jazz are the perfect team because it's not about just a single star.
Would it be
it's
a Cinderella about, story?
It is a Cinderella story.
Okay.
It already is. The fact that they're either trashing us or not talking about
they
us.
They are good. They are good.
Puts us into that space. And people want to be part of that story.
And I'm not a big basketball gal. I like watching all sports. And I'm a huge Jazz fan, right? Because I live in Utah and I want to be a part of it. But they are good.
They are. They're fun to watch. They're fun to watch because it's so selfless. In an age of mega million-dollar athletes who are always looking out for number one, we have an organization that has created a culture with the right coach, the right ownership, and brought in the right players.
Feels good.
To say, I mean, anytime you can have a team that gets two players nominated for the sixth man of the year. So these are people who aren't the starters. They're not the focus. They come off the bench. They know their role. They play it. That's very Utah-centric. It feels good. It feels right. It's exciting basketball to watch, and it is awesome to be part of.
We're going to have a full report in the 11 o'clock hour, Boy, because we want to make sure our Jazz fans don't get ripped off buying tickets.
Yes.
And there is some very specific websites you need to be aware of that you need to make sure you're on, your loved ones are on before you purchase tickets. We do not want you to get ripped off trying to watch one of these playoff games. So that is a special report we'll have in the 11 o'clock hour. Straight ahead, you know, Spotify went down this morning, Twitter went down, PayPal was a no-go, news apps with error messages. We're going to have an update on a massive outage that shows us how connected we are to the internet. Plus, Boyd, I'm going to dig into you with dozens of things around our house that are internet connected. I'm going to give you a list. You're not going to believe it. And I don't think they should be internet connected.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.